So I want to ask you about the report that you filed Tuesday with the federal court. I have some particular questions. The first one is that you said that in the report that the Office of Compliance has not analyzed in detail or suggested remedies for the corruption of the city's employment practices as reflected in the Sorich indictments and convictions. In that particular case, what would you expect or like the Office of Compliance to do?
Well, I think what we said was that the Office of Compliance report suggested that the Sorich scandal was, which, as you know, was a situation in which high-level people in the city's administration engaged in rigged interviewing systems to award jobs to pre-selected individuals in violation of court orders. What the reports by the Office of Compliance have suggested is that this kind of serious misconduct was the result of inadequate training by staff people working in the personnel departments of various city departments. That's not true. That's the evidence that was introduced at the trial established that the phony interview process was an elaborately developed procedure engineered by Mr. Sorich and his colleagues at a high level of government, and had nothing whatsoever to do with inadequate training by the people on the line who were carrying out these tasks. So that we start with the fact that we've got a from the Office of Compliance a unrealistic and implausible view of what caused the problems that led to the Sorich indictments and convictions, Sorich and his co-conspirators. What we would like the Office of Compliance to do, of course, is to take a more realistic view of what actually occurred and to address where in the city these problems originated and how procedures can be put in place to prevent them from occurring again if some other individual at a high level comes along and says, "Well, I now want to implement in whole or in part, some kind of political hiring system or political advancement for chosen people."
Not that I'm asking you to sort of lay out a work plan for the Office of Compliance, but specifically in this case, and the amounts of testimony in the Sorich case, what sorts of things would you be expecting the Office of Compliance to do, particularly? Like, would you expect them, say, to read through the transcript, find the people who are identified in the transcript and interview them, or what sorts of things like that?
Well, I think that's more specific than I can be at this point. I'm not able or prepared off the top of my head to develop a work plan for the Office of Compliance. What I can do is as what we have done, which is to say there are two significant areas in which the city was massively not complying with court orders. One is the rigged interviewing system under Sorich, and another is the continuing use of so-called independent contractors to fill what really amount to ordinary employment jobs and thus to circumvent the rules on hiring for ordinary employment jobs with the city. Now, in each of those instances, you've got a well-documented serious violation of court orders, and it on a large scale, and one that's important to the health of the city's employment system. It's the duty of, in our view, of the Office of Compliance to work out a plan for figuring out how those things happened and work out a plan for making sure they don't happen in the future, whether that involves interviewing people, looking at procedures, or doing something else is really it's really their job to decide that, and it would be improper for us to try and micromanage how they do it. What is of concern to us is that they haven't done it and they haven't tried to do it. That's the core of our concern.
Let me take you to one of the things you just talked about, the contractor issue. One of the things you cite in your report is the city's widespread disregard of the Penick order on the use of contract employees. Could you describe the Penick order?
Yeah, that's a decision by the federal court in the patronage litigation that says that the rules that have been in place for many years that prohibit political hiring and promotion apply to not only ordinary employees of the city, that is, people who get a paycheck from the city, but people who are characterized as independent contractors, but who in fact are filling ordinary day-to-day jobs in the city and have been hired through an agency, a commission, or what have you, in a manner to suggest that they are not regular employees. The court said if they walk like a duck and quack like a duck, they're a duck. They're an employee, and they have to be subject to all the rules for non-political hiring that apply to other employees.
In this situation, I'll ask the same question as I asked before. What would you expect or would like the Office of Compliance to do differently than what they have done with regard to contract employees?
Well, here you have a situation in which there have been several directives from the Corporation Council going back into the 1990s that made quite clear that this kind of contracting out city employment was to be rigorously limited and not used as a vehicle for avoiding the rules against political hiring. So to start with, we've got a question how it is that this memo from the Corporation Council, which also came from the budget director and the city controller and the acting purchasing agent and went to all department heads, how it is that that wasn't adequately disseminated, and how it is that those rules which preceded the court's injunction weren't properly implemented. It sounds like either a effort to avoid following the rules, that is creating a set of memos that nobody paid any attention to, or that there was a system of communication or lack of communication at high levels in the city that totally broke down. Either way, that issue, what happened, how it happened, how to prevent it, needs to be addressed.
You said in your report that Tony Boswell, the executive director of the Office of Compliance, has agreed to provide more detail in future reports, and I'm thinking he said that presumably before he issued his third progress report yesterday. Do you think the third report contains the level of detail to which Boswell agreed?
Well, I don't know what he thinks he agreed to, so I won't characterize it in that fashion. I'd just say objectively it doesn't contain any more detail than the first two reports, and they were woefully inadequate. So I don't think it comes close to providing the kind of detail that would permit the plaintiffs in this case, or the public, or very importantly, the judge in the case, to evaluate how well the city is doing on getting itself in order so that it can ultimately say to the court that we can run a non-political hiring and employment system.
And would you say that the fact that the third report contains no more detail is in itself a significant barrier for the city to come into compliance?
Well, I'd say what I just said, that is that you can't tell whether the city's in compliance from any of these reports. They're at such a level of generality that they just don't answer the key questions. And until the key questions get answered in detail, it's going to be impossible for anybody to figure out what really is happening.
In your report, it looks like you agree with the Shackman Decree Monitor that the Office of Compliance and the Inspector General's Office should publicly report all Shackman-related complaints and violations. I'm wondering what level of detail you'd like to see. For example, currently each quarter the Inspector General's Office reports, they put out a report that has a total number of investigations initiated, the number pending, number closed. So I'm wondering what greater level of detail you would like to see IGO and compliance put out.
Well, let's leave IGO aside for the moment because that's a separate office with certain specified responsibilities and talk about compliance. The problem with the compliance report is that we don't even get to that level. That is, there is no description in the Office of Compliance reports of any observation by that office that there have been violations of the court orders. Now, I don't think the Office of Compliance is representing or claiming that there haven't been or that there aren't significant problems that remain in terms of politics playing a role in employment. That argument isn't being made. We don't have any detail from the Office of Compliance concerning any violations or possible violations or steps that are being taken to determine whether there are or are not violations. And violations don't necessarily come walking at you with a sign on them that says this is a violation. They are the result of detailed review of how specific hiring processes take place, whether unusual coincidences start to appear in terms of people who are put on the list to be considered, whether there are telltale signs that something may not be operating properly, as, for example, in the unusually high concentration of overtime being awarded in certain city departments, which is noted by the Office of Compliance Reports and is an important piece of data, but then they don't take it anywhere. They don't reflect any kind of analysis other than a statistical analysis, which is frankly not very meaningful because the statistics don't tell you what's actually happening or whether there is or is not favoritism taking place.
What would be the next step you would want them to take?
Well, they've got to find out why. Why is overtime being allocated so that you've got a relatively small percentage, I think 15% in one department getting 48 or 49% of the total overtime. I might be off by a few percent, but it's that kind of magnitude. Somebody's got to go in and ask and look at records and not necessarily accept at face value everything that's being said. Now, if you want to ask the question, is this realistic? Is the kind of investigation I'm talking about realistic? It absolutely is. All you have to do is compare the work being done by Mary Robinson, who is the court-appointed compliance administrator for Cook County and has a job not dissimilar to the Office of Compliance in the city. She issued a report that was on September 14th that does all the things that I would like to see done by the city's Office of Compliance. They raise questions about events that seem inconsistent with an honest employment system. They ask for documents. They follow up on the documents. They report what they found when they followed up on the documents. And they provide you with a sense that you're actually getting a real-world picture of what's going on in the county, some good, some bad, but at least you understand what progress the county is making towards compliance. If you compare the detail in the county compliance administrator's report with the complete lack of detail in the Office of Compliance report from the City of Chicago, the contrast is absolutely startling.
Yeah, I've read that report. I know what you mean. You said that in your report that the plaintiffs have a serious concern, which we have discussed with Mr. Boswell, that in attempting to garner goodwill and cooperation with city departments and the mayor's office, OCX may be losing the ability to serve as a neutral, independent agency. Can you give me any examples of that?
Well, that is what we said to him, and we based it upon the fact that we've heard the notion articulated that if you want to be effective within the city, you have to be collegial or cordial or friendly, and I'm not against collegiality or friendliness or politeness, but what we've said is you have to nonetheless maintain your position as an independent monitoring agency and be part of, but separate from, the people you're supposed to be reviewing and policing. So our concern has been that the Department of Compliance, the Office of Compliance, maintain that neutral, friendly but neutral and independent stature that allows it to evaluate what's going on and to accurately report the product of its investigations.
Is there anything in particular that they did that leads you to believe they're not maintaining independence?
Well, there is a tone in the reports of advocacy, a tone that all is well, that everything is going swimmingly, and that the city is on the road to being able to make its showing that it's complied with the court orders and that further federal court supervision is not needed. Now, maybe that's all well supported and justified, but you can't tell that in any way from what's in the report. And insofar as his reports make forward-looking predictions, and they do in a number of places, that requires a crystal ball, which neither the Office of Compliance nor anyone else has, and shifts from being a accurate reporter and evaluator of conduct to a advocate for a termination of further federal court oversight at some specific time in the future. And that's not appropriate based on what we've seen. It wouldn't be appropriate even if you had detailed records because it calls for a prediction about how things are going to play out in the future.
And you said in this context that you've discussed it with Mr. Boswell. What has been his reaction?
Well, you know, I don't think I want to get into a I said, he said What he's in general said is he is a cordial gentleman and a friendly man, and he has said he understands what we're saying, but he hasn't said he agrees with us.